B-Pod Studios.
Cash fools everything around me. Green, get the money. Dollar, dollar bill, yo. Cash fools everything around me. Green, get the money. Dollar, dollar bill, yo. Cash fools everything around me. Green, get the money. Dollar, dollar bill, yo. Cash fools everything around me. Green, get the money. Dollar, dollar bill, yo.
This is Over Under 98.5 with Joe Murray and Dan Lifshitz. Here are the Bankroll. Who you got?
It's Over Under 985, the podcast. I'm Joe Murray. Dan Lifshitz is here. We're known as the Bankroll Boys, and we are in studio. No technical issues this week, Dan.
Crystal clear sound. No now, complaining.
To get this out of the way, to bitch a little bit if we can, it's hard to get to Dorchester, Mass. If anyone knows where that is, it's on the ocean, and it's across from UMass Boston. And it is the shittiest place in the world to get to, especially after 5 o'clock in Boston.
Fucking brutal.
So I'm working mornings now, and I'm a little bitch because I need my nap during the day. And then, you know, like Dan, on his lunch break last week, dialed in to do the show, and I did it from my house. And I guess there was a lot of pop, 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 popping.
Popcorn, baby.
Going on like in Half Bake when he fed the horse. What was that horse's name? Buttercup?
Oh, fuck.
Butter stuff? Buttercup.
Was Buttercup?
Was it Butter Stuff?
The cop named his fucking horse Buttercup?
And they tried to arrest him for being a cop killer?
Oh, Jesus Christ, yeah. Cop killer.
Wasn't it like Ernest Goes to Jail, like one of the cops, that guy? I don't know, whatever. But anyways, to bitch a little bit, it's hard to get here. So, yeah, we're here now. And the traffic sucked. And it's cold as balls. And it's Christmas.
Almost,
whatever. Almost. We're here. Week from today, Christmas? Or is that yesterday? I don't know. Whatever.
What's today? The 19th or whatever? I believe it's yesterday.
Whatever. So don't be dickheads and write reviews about our audio sucking because we're here.
Oh, is that what's going on?
No.
Yeah, it doesn't bother me.
No.
Yeah.
Stop. And you know what? I'm glad people made it to hear the Francesa attempts. You know? It's like everyone, oh, you can't listen to your brother. Oh, yeah, but you happen to make it to that part, huh? That was the end of the podcast. Whatever. I'm in a pissy mood today.
I can tell. I like it.
You know why? Because I lost my first bet in like 3 weeks last night.
You were fucking smoking hot, huh?
Well, not smoking. I lost the Steelers game on Sunday night, but I didn't care because I won. It's kind of like that thing at the end of the week. It's like, whatever. Just, you know, you lose.
Love the production quality.
You saw that shit?
Oh, that's fucking, I mean, dick. It's really funny. It's such a dick move. Don't be a dick, but it's funny. I laughed.
We do this shit on our own time. Whatever. Moving on.
It's funny.
I lost my first bet last night. I had the over in the Celtics game. It was 116, and it landed on 112. And I was very upset about that.
That sucked.
I watched Porzingis shoot free throws.
And miss.
It was terrible. Yeah. And then Kemba Walker's missing technical foul attempts.
Dude, I saw like 4 or 5 guys in that second half over yesterday. I didn't even see you were on it until
way after the
half started.
What happened?
I didn't see the game.
Like there was no defense.
I don't know. I mean, probably some really shitty foul shooting. Probably a few missed threes and maybe some less foul calls than you would expect. Let's take a look into it. Maybe I'll pull up an old box score while we're doing this. We'll see what was going on in that one.
All right. So is this the most wonderful time of the year, meaning bowl season?
Listen, I'm excited, dude. Like I've already started sprinkling a few bowls here and there. It's there, man. Listen, there is money, real guap to be made during bowl season. If you can find motivations for these teams, there is real money to be made, Joe. Honestly.
There's a game at 2 o'clock on Friday.
Hell yeah. 2 o'clock game tomorrow. No one is in the office tomorrow for me. I am because I'm Jewish. I'm not going on, you know, fucking Christmas holiday. So I'm going to be watching college football while working tomorrow.
I'm going to bet these two games tomorrow, and then I'm going to see Star Wars.
Oh, that's good.
That's my day.
I've heard it's fantastic.
And then Saturday, there's bowl games.
And then there's football games every day until Christmas.
Yeah.
Every day until Christmas. And college basketball is fucking heating up, and I love it. So I don't know if you saw the exchange, Joe. One of the guys, he likes us, whatever, basically called me out for, and again, we're friends with this guy. It's nothing bad. But basically called me out for betting Cincinnati versus Tennessee and was basically saying, like, you know, you're just trying to be a contrarian. You're just taking plays that, you know, are low spreads to be a contrarian. And, you know, it's all about KenPom rankings. And I tried to explain to everyone that KenPom rankings on December 18th mean about as much as NFL power rankings do week six. I think it's no one should give a fuck about where these teams are right now. That's all. Right now, you play spots. I'm telling you, it's the most profitable way, most profitable angle. Just play spots. Do not worry about teams. It's too early to worry about teams, man. Don't worry about that shit.
I missed tonight's game, Seton Hall, Maryland. That was the early one there. We got NC State, Auburn later.
There's a good one. Yeah, NC State, Auburn. And that's a good one. That is a legit
Auburn at home, but they win, but they don't cover a lot. Because I'll have to look at those later. Anyways, all right. Last week, hit our double PP Chiefs.
3-1-1 on the PPs.
Lost the Steelers. They suck. They suck.
Yes, they do.
I like Duck, but he threw ducks.
I wonder if they're going to lose to the Jets this week. Jamal Adams playing.
Yeah, Le'Veon Bell, I saw.
Le'Veon Bell playing. Sam Darnold playing. This is the type of team that the Steelers lose to. You know? Mediocre teams. Somehow they beat the good ones, but this is kind of the team, like, they feels like an opportunity to lose. That's all.
By the way, Dan, I am not getting you a fucking Christmas gift.
Okay.
No, I know other people are handing gifts around, but I'm not doing that.
That's fine.
No, I just wanted to let you know, like, I don't do gifts with my wife.
I'm not taking it personally. I don't
do you
give
buy
a shit.
Do you gifts with your wife?
Yeah, I mean she you know she's likes that stuff. So,
no, I trust me. I get her a stocking with a bunch of bullshit in it.
Yeah, no,
I'm not. You know, we don't do gifts.
I
you know why? Because we don't want to spend money on each other.
I get you. That's fair. I get her some gifts. I'm not a big gift guy. Grew up Jewish. I didn't have like
Christmas. It doesn't matter. You still
have. But like, yeah, I mean, but like, I didn't have like a
you
Christmas.
You still fucking give gifts?
Yeah, but like, I didn't have a Christmas. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not getting like 25.
I grew up
gifts
with all Italians and Jews. That's what I grew up with.
Yeah, okay, yeah. So, I mean,
we used to give each other like fucking chocolate bars and shit.
Okay, yeah, I'll get you a fucking chocolate bar.
Or like, you know, I'll buy you a drink. You know?
Yeah, that's fun. That's different. I'm not expecting gifts from anyone.
Okay, good. I'm right. Glad you weren't expecting a gift from me.
Yeah, I don't expect gifts from people.
Okay. I just wanted to get that out of the way as
me
well.
Me and my buddy swapped $100 for our Christmas gift, too. That was like, that's
swapped? Me. You gave him 100 and he gave you 100?
I gave him 100 bucks.
The fuck is that?
I gave him 100 bucks. He has back problems, right? So I got a massage for $100 and he got me something for $100. He got me $100 booze. That was it, you know? That's the way it works.
I've been drinking a lot lately. Well, it's because of all these parties.
I mean, dude, last night, talking about drinking was interesting.
I had two, and then I went to the Kowloon.
I know, but I'm just saying, there were other members
oh, yeah.
who had more than two.
One final shout-out to Mike Thomas, our program director, who's our program director until tomorrow.
Correct.
And then he's going to Chicago, and then he's going to make them a gambling dynamo. You think?
I mean,
it's legal in Iowa.
Mike has done a great job here, and good job is understating things. A great job here, and to be honest with you, I'm not really sure what else you could possibly want from him.
Yeah, I know.
You know, like he's going to go to Chicago. He's probably going to do very well there.
Yeah,
he is the. I mean, again, we've said it multiple times. He's the reason this podcast exists.
Yeah.
So if you want to thank someone, thank Mike Thomas. And apologies for bitching, but you know, we're...
Hey, you know what? It's the holidays, damn it.
Holiday festivus right now.
You know? It's the holidays. Can't always be happy.
Now you got a bitch.
Oh, I can't wait. I got a bit coming up this week. Did you ever watch the Charlie Brown Christmas?
I did not. I mean, I probably did at some point.
Charlie Brown, you know, is this guy like, everything sucks. And he like, you know... He has, like, a sister who wants everything and then says money. And then he's always sad all the time. And Snoopy's his dog and, like, is living a better life than him. And he has to be, like, this producer for a play. And everyone's like, you suck, Charlie Brown. And then they're like, go get us the best Christmas tree in the world. And you know what he gets? This sucky-ass little tree. Because it was all by itself. And everyone was all bullshit. But it's like, that's some people, that's their favorite Christmas movie. Or Carol.
Hard pass.
And it's like, dude, it's negative as hell.
Hard pass.
Like, at least the Grinch got happy. You know?
And I know this sounds millennial, because I guess that's a
big
theme around the fucking station this week, but I'm in on Elf. I love Elf.
Elf's funny.
I love Elf.
I love when she's in the shower and he starts singing with him. Oh, Dr. Dre, the Chronic. Our kid's wearing the Chronic jersey.
Yes, he is.
A t-shirt. I can name you every song on that damn Chronic album right now. And I do look like Suge Knight. Oh my God, story. At the casino last week.
Yeah.
I was drunk. Because we got bottle service. It was
2
a.m.
Holiday party.
It was 2 a.m. And these dudes were like, kind of like, not mouthing at me, but like said something to me.
Okay.
And I look back with like a little squint, like, who the fuck are you guys, you know?
Yep.
And they were like, yo, bro, we got no problem. I was like, all right, you better not have a fucking problem. Right? And then they were like, we don't want to fuck with no rapper. That's what they said. And I was like, I know I look like Suge Knight, but like, does everybody think I'm a rapper?
I mean,
I've gone on vacation and people have asked me if I'm a rapper.
If it could, because you look like Suge Knight?
I look like Fat Joe, too, though, if I shave my face.
Yeah, you do, kind of. You got to get the hair. You have a different like style of hair.
Like, one guy called me DJ Khaled. I'm like, dude, I'm too big to be DJ Khaled. He's tiny.
You're too white to be
DJ Khaled. Anyways,
to be honest with you,
how much, how long was this?
This is about 11 minutes.
11 minutes of just bullshit, huh?
11 minutes of just bullshit.
All right, what are we doing today?
We got, we'll do college bowl season. We'll decide during the break, either we're going to do all the bowls, like just a short preview, and we'll focus on the games this week, or we'll just focus on the games this week. So we'll do one of those too. We got some NFL. Obviously, week 16, and then it's time for a little college basketball, and if we want to do some NBA, we can mix that in there too. So we'll see. That's about it. That's all I got.
When are we doing our next podcast?
Interesting. I mean,
because there's a Christmas Day little games there.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
I'm here Monday and Tuesday next week.
I'm gone Christmas Eve.
Okay, that would be Tuesday.
Yeah, I can.
Where are you going?
I can do. We celebrate Christmas Eve. We celebrate Christmas on Christmas Eve with her family, my wife's family. Because
you stay local, or are you going on?
Well, because
airplane?
I work here on Christmas because no one else is Jewish, so I volunteer to work here. On
you
Christmas.
Getting on an airplane, or are you just
no, we're driving to Connecticut.
Oh, okay, that's not bad. Casino's open.
Yeah, probably won't hit the casino, unfortunately.
You know, I imagine that. Hey, baby, I know it's Christmas Eve. But...
So, funny story, we did that a couple years ago. We stopped on the way back.
Well,
it's funny,
my wife's family's from Hawaii, but, you know, Vegas and Hawaii are like 6, they think it's like, you know, it's like from here to Rhode Island, they think, you know, 6-hour flight, it's no big deal.
I mean, good for them.
So they come here and they're like, hey, how far is the casino? I'm like, 90 minutes. They're like, let's just go. Because like 90 minutes out in like the West Coast is like... Nothing. You know, like Vegas to LA is like no big deal.
Oh, I know. That's a normal 3-hour drive.
You know what I mean?
People think that's normal.
So they come here and they're like, oh, it's only 9, let's go. And I'm like, well, dude, like, we can't. Like, we can't go to the, like, we got shit going on.
We like, have to do dinner and shit.
Yeah, like, we can't do it. Let's just go, dude. I'm like, we can't do that. Anyways, all right. Do you want to do bowl? No. What should we do first? NFL?
I would say we can start with NFL. It's a good idea.
Because. Well, now we got to figure out how we're going to do next week.
We'll figure it out.
All right.
Maybe we do a joint Periscope on Christmas.
Okay.
Joint Periscope.
All right. Well, we got something coming up next here on Over Under 985.
Hardcore baseball talk. Inside the Ropes with Wrestling Talk. And where you should put your money with Over Under 985. Listen to the podcast at 985thesportshub.com and on the Sports Hub app.
You're listening to the Bankroll Boys. Follow them on Twitter at Joey Murr, at Dan Lifshatz, and send in your questions at Over Under 985.
Over Under 985. We're back. We're in studio. and we sound clear. And we got picks. Speaking of picks, because it is the holiday season. I know you're Jewish.
Yep.
Like, is there a song, like a go-to for you? Like, you know?
I don't do.
Like dreidel, dreidel, dreidel.
Oh, fuck that. No. I don't do holiday music, man. I'm not a big, like, holiday.
Did you ever see Eight Crazy Nights?
Yeah, with Adam Sandler.
That shit's funny.
Oh, yeah. It's a great movie.
I love that.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Uncut Gems.
Oh, Uncut. Yeah, that was on last night.
You saw it?
Yeah, it was on at...
No, it's not out yet, though. Comes out Christmas Eve.
I know that.
Oh, you saw the preview for it.
The preview, yeah.
What do you think of that?
We'll see. I'm interested. I think it's going to be fun.
Yeah.
I think it's going
to
be fun.
I feel like Adam Sandler's trying to be like Al Pacino or something. Is he in that movie, too? I don't know.
Which one? Pacino? I have no idea. But I mean, he's doing
the Mike Francis.
He's doing the media tour right now, man. I mean, they're doing like the whole media tour and shit. So,
Mike Francis.
There you go.
Can't do it.
He's the bookie.
Can't do it.
You can't do it.
I've been working on it.
Yeah.
Oh.
That's yeah.
Oh, he's getting. Well, he's gone. He's gonna.
I mean,
he's gonna be doing a half hour of radio in New York.
That's
why would you want to fucking wake up for that?
I don't know why. What you know? What time slots he got?
They moved the Evan and Joe guys up.
Okay.
By the way, for all you people who want to get in the radio, forget which one. Joe Beningo, dude was a caller, a fucking caller.
Yep.
And then ended up getting his own show, and now he's doing Drive Time in fucking New York.
Hey, our buddy Sean Pendergast did the same thing in Houston.
Same thing.
He was a caller.
I used to call in one. I used to be Joey from Hyde Park.
Really?
Yeah.
No, I know that.
I used to call the Beetle and Gasper show extravaganza.
Interesting.
And then I got hired one day.
I called Adam Jones one time before I worked at the station, and that was it. Just called me an
Did
idiot.
You berate him?
I called him an idiot, I think, something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it was Jones, you know. Everyone likes
I used to call in just to talk gambling, too.
Oh, I like that.
Like, hey, guys, you know what the fuck you're talking about? Well, I couldn't really say that.
Along those lines.
We got something later. We got to share about millennials and gambling.
Yeah, we definitely do.
That I think it's bullshit. Kind of.
Was a theme this week. Anyways, all right, let's get into this.
NFL! Houston Texans at Tampa Bay Bucks. Taking the spread out of it, Tampa Bay's hot as shit, right? We're doing a lot of swearing today. They're hot. What are they, 7-7 now in the year? They suck on, they're at home. You know they're 0-4 against the spread at home.
Spread open is a pick'em. It's up to 3.
I've watched Houston the last couple of years. They had a chance to have a bye last year and choked it at the end of the year. They lost to the Colts, remember?
Yep.
And a snow was that a snow game? Wait, what was that? No, they lost to the Colts.
It was a snow game.
I remember seeing snow, but how could they be snow if they're both indoors?
No, it wasn't a snow game. Pats were playing a snow game.
Okay. Probably. Well, I remember Houston losing.
Yep.
And they just won last week against Tannehill and the Titans. They're favored. I don't think they should be. The way that Tampa Bay is at home, I don't trust Houston on the road.
Houston had a really – who'd they beat last week?
They beat Tennessee. Yeah.
Good win. Solid win. Tampa Bay has been hot. However, no Mike Evans and no Chris Godwin.
That's going to be tough.
So that means that it's the Brashad Perryman show this week again.
Do you know that Houston has played Tampa Bay and has destroyed them? Like the last three meetings, they've outscored them 84-32.
I mean, Jameis Winston feels due for another pick six, right? That's what he does. Jameis Winston.
Who's had a better year?
Touchdowns and pick sixes.
Deshaun Watson or Jameis Winston?
Deshaun Watson. Winston may be better in the box score. Watson has been better overall. Watson was an early MVP candidate. Here's my problem with Watson, okay? He doesn't win important games. And games where his team needs him to step up, he just fucking flat out disappears. The Baltimore game comes to mind. They beat the Pats. That was their Super Bowl. Then the next week, they absolutely shit the bed versus Denver. Watson doesn't have the level yet. And maybe he'll develop eventually, but he just doesn't have that level where he can push his team over the top. I like Tampa Bay this week. The over-under, Joe, is sitting at 50.5. Opened at 53.
Ooh,
opened under. At 53.
Yeah, but Tampa Bay at home, man. They score a lot of points.
That feels like a late score pushes it over. I don't know. I don't want to be on that game just in general. I think
yeah, I'm saving my money for the Patriots game. But I'm going to be, you know what though? The problem is that I'm going to have an itchy finger because I'm working mornings now.
It's Saturday.
I'm going to wake up at 6 a.m. and I'm going to be like, what can I bet on? And I'm going to stare at the over under of 49.5. And I'm going to see which way it goes. Does it go down to 49 or does it go up to 50? And I'm going to stare at that.
Well, let's move on to the Pats game.
PP, Patriots, -6, book it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to PP it, but I agree. The Pats are the side this week, man. They are. Everyone's going to want to be on the Bills.
Edelman's got the injury in his knee. Brady's limping around, not practicing.
Apparently.
Oh, no, but that's the spin, big guy.
Right. The rumor is he might not play.
Like, come get the fuck out of here.
The guy's like with their broken hands and broken feet.
The dude had a sports hernia in his balls, and he's still fucking playing. No, I'm serious.
I know. It's fucking ridiculous. People are thinking his elbow? Like his hand. Remember his hand was like a fucking golf ball?
Dude, he like sliced it doing a handoff to Rex Burkhead.
Oh, my God.
And they had to like glue it back together.
Yeah. A couple years ago versus the Jets, his hand like had a golf ball on it because it was broken.
Yeah.
Played through it. The dude's playing.
Dude, you guys can say whatever you want about Tom Brady. The guy's tough as nails.
Tough as fuck, dude.
Now, he did break an ankle once in like 2001. And then Bledsoe came in, remember that?
I do remember that. That was the Steelers AFC.
And then he had a shit ankle once in one of the Super Bowls.
Was that 2001 versus the Rams?
No, that was like 2012.
No, that was 2007 versus the Giants where he had the broken foot.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Whatever.
Well, listen,
he's playing.
Pats and under. If you want to play something in that game, it's Pats first, under second. Josh Allen and the Bills struggle in New England. They always have. They always will. This is not an easy place to play. I like the Pats to cover, and I like Buffalo. I like that under. I do. I like
I'm
going to
give you two names this week, Dan. Two names. Sony Michel rushed for 63 yards in Buffalo earlier this year, and last year at the end of the year, 116 yards and a touchdown versus the Bills. Generally, the Bills are known to have a nice little run defense, but I think Sony Michel gets going this week. And one other name to give you, okay? We haven't heard from him for a little bit. But I think Dorsett is going to get involved and make some big plays.
Interesting.
And the reason where I'm going with that is the Patriots are going to run drills where John Brown, who's been very good. I saw a stat that...
John Jones?
John Brown, the receiver for the Bills.
Oh, John Brown. Okay.
He's got 26 catches for over 400 yards and 4 touchdowns just against the AFC alone this year. So in practice, I think they're using Dorsett as that John Brown receiver, which is going to get him going this week.
That would make sense.
And we saw last week,
Duck Hodges.
He tried to throw it over those safeties, and they made two good plays. I think Dorsett can get behind those safeties. It's just if can Brady get him the football.
It's interesting. Yeah, we'll see. I like the Pats to win at home. They lost to the Chiefs. Let's put it like this. They should have been in overtime versus the Chiefs, and they played the worst game of home I've ever seen them play. Probably since 2007, I'd say at home. That's the worst home game I've ever seen them play. I've seen the play since 2007, I'd say. So, I mean, to me, I'm back in the Pats at home again. That's what I would do.
So, I know you like the under. I'm going over. The Bills are going to choke. Josh Allen's going to throw three picks.
Defense score.
Juwan Bentley's going to pick up a fumble and take it for a touchdown.
Interesting. He has been quiet as fuck this year.
Bentley, dude, he had 8 tackles last week.
I know, but in general, I mean.
Well, yeah, because they don't run that defense. If there was like, you know, maybe, but against the Ravens, they're going
to
need him.
Compared to what he did last year in the first few games. Yeah. Quiet. Yeah.
The 49ers host the Rams. 49ers, 6.5-point favorites coming off a loss against Atlanta, which I had, +11. The Rams. Coming off a bad loss to the Cowboys.
Which I had.
That's right. The 49ers need to win the game. the Rams really need to win the game in order to make it to the playoffs.
I mean, the Niners need this win to keep pace with Seattle. The Rams need this win to make the playoffs. It's a crazy game this late in the season, dude. It's one of the best of the week. I'm happy it's a Saturday night game. I think this is going to be more defensive. It's a divisional matchup, which again usually means a lot of the opposite happens than you would think. I would take the Rams with the 6.5, and I would take the under in that one as well. I think that you're going to see the Rams play them tough. The Rams can run the ball. They can throw the ball with Goff. He is Goff after all, but nonetheless, I still think that because of the way that LA plays San Francisco and the way they know that team, I think it's going to be a close divisional game. I would say under, and I would take the 6.5 points. I think you're looking at a 3-point game.
26-17, 49ers.
You think they cover? Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting. Doesn't go over, though.
Goes stays under.
Okay.
How about that?
Interesting.
That's just Saturday's games, Dan.
I know.
Because there's more games on Sunday.
We got Sunday and Monday.
The Jaguars, who still have a coach.
And by the way, ruined Oakland. Ruined it. That was the last Oakland game. We didn't talk about that last week. That's the last game ever to be played in Oakland. And embarrassing.
I had the Jags last week. Anyways, Falcons are -7. A lot of love -7 there for those guys.
That's a heavy, heavy line switch from +11 to -7. They're home, right? It's in Atlanta?
Atlanta, where the players play.
I
feel like the Falcons have been improved because they're trying to get Julio Jones touchdowns. Because he went, can you believe that guy went 8 games in a row without a touchdown?
And he had
how the hell is that? That guy should get fired for that.
I have no idea. He had 2 last week.
But that's what I mean. They're trying to get him involved, and that's.
And as they should, because they're not going to win without him.
Yeah.
They absolutely need to get him involved.
Total's 46.5. I lean under right off the bat because Jags don't really score.
Me too.
Leonard Fournette got 1,000 yards rushing. Holy shit.
He sucked this year, too. I that would be my play in that game, Joe. I like the under more than anything else in that game, to me.
I think the Jaguars are going to implode this week.
It's possible.
With Coughlin gone, shit going on in their office with, like, verbal abuse. Moron is still in there.
Yeah.
Moron's better
and
than
now, me. And now the NFLPA getting the all those fines overturned feels like something's coming. But, like, do you also want to lay 7 with Atlanta?
No. Especially the Minshew Magic.
Especially coming off the game they just won in the fashion they did. I don't want to lay 7 with Atlanta. That's me.
How about the Ravens going to Cleveland? We're out on Cleveland, which we were in a lot.
My fault.
Did they cost people the most money this year?
Yes, they cost me the most money this year. So if you, by people you mean me, then the answer is yes, fuck
but
you.
We had them the last time they played the Ravens.
Yeah, I know we did, but fuck.
10-point dogs against the Ravens. Ravens on the road. I mean, Chubb can run on them.
It feels like Cleveland might cover this game. But no fucking way am I putting my money on it. I'm done. I'm done with Cleveland. I'm done. I didn't learn my lesson apparently a few years ago, which is all the sharps are on Cleveland and they still lose no matter what. I didn't learn my lesson this year. I thought they were going to be good. I was wrong. I'm done. I'm out on Cleveland. I'm not backing them. I feel like this is going to be like a high-scoring game like it was last time. Like I think it was like 42-10 or some stupid score. That Cleveland won by, I would not be surprised if Cleveland won the game outright, honestly, but just, no, I'm not backing them. I'm not, can't do it, Joe. Out on the Browns, out on the points, fuck it. I'm out. I like the over in that game. Looking for some point of the over.
Yeah, wondering if the Browns can be that team that just, like, knows how to figure out the Ravens. I don't know.
Divisional opponents, again, and we repeat it on the show all the time, but it's just a different score to game. It's just different.
Ready for a nice square play alert?
Ready.
Saints at Titans. Saints, it's -2.
Here's the thing. Drew Brees, this is Drew Brees' first game outdoors in his last 18 games. Like, that is a problem. That's a problem. That's different. That's a problem. I'm not PPing it, but man, does it feel like New Orleans is the dangerously wrong side this week. That's what it feels
square.
Like to me. It reminds me of the Texas play.
It's square.
A couple weeks ago, like the Texas-Kansas State game where Texas ended up losing, or TCU, whatever it was. This feels – it's a very similar type field.
Titans have to win. Titans have to win the game in order to stay in it. They didn't look terrible last week.
They didn't look good.
I mean, the Saints, they got their record, right? They're 11 and they're going to be somewhere. They're probably going to play division.
They've already clinched the division.
Yeah, well, I'm just saying they're going to probably, unless something happens with the 49ers or Seattle, they're going to be playing divisional weekend. Who needs it more? It's the Titans, if you ask me. But when it comes to seedings, that's a square play. I'd be afraid of. I'd only go Titans or nothing in that one. I'm not going to bet it, but I, it's so juicy to me. And, you know, I got something to say about Drew Brees quickly. You mentioned the outdoor thing. Okay. He does well. He's protected by playing indoors. His numbers might be inflated by playing indoors.
Yeah.
Just do me a favor. Look at his playoff numbers on the road when you get a chance someday. They're fucking great. He has played well outside. He's thrown over 400 yards. His teams have lost, but he's gone over 400, four touchdowns. The games I'll pick out when they lost to Seattle when Seattle was 7-9, like that wasn't his fault. Not his fault.
I mean,
the Minnesota Miracle, not his fault.
Dude, they scored like 10 points for Seattle.
Not his fault.
No, that yeah was
just four touchdowns. Just we'll look it up.
They scored 10 points on Seattle. It's fucking absolutely his fault.
From that old Seattle team?
Yeah. You lose to a 7-9 team, you score like 10 points or whatever it was?
I looked it up the other day.
All right. I believe it was a low-scoring game, if I remember correctly. Okay? If you lose that low-scoring game to a 7-9 team, I get they were a good defensive team. They were up and on the come.
Bad. All right, Seattle, though, they lost 41-36. He threw for 404 yards and two touchdowns.
That game was 41-36?
Yeah.
Are you sure that's not a different
I'm looking
Seattle
at
team?
It right now. And then.
Holy shit.
That's 2010. And then in 2011, they won a game. They won 45-28 against Detroit. And then they lost 36-32. To San Francisco,
Jesus.
And he threw for 462 yards and four touchdowns.
I thought, for whatever reason, I thought he scored like 10 fucking points.
And then they
game.
Beat Philadelphia on the road, and then they lost to Seattle in 2013, 23-15.
Okay, that
but
is
he still
game.
Threw for 300
That's
yards.
That's the game. No, he sucked that game.
He threw for 300 yards
no,
and a touchdown.
He sucked that game.
He had no
dude.
Interceptions.
He was terrible
okay.
that game.
And just
game.
To continue to go on.
He was terrible that game.
At,
I do remember that game.
At
that
Minnesota, 29-24, he threw for 300 yards and three touchdowns. And then at Philadelphia again, he had 300 yards.
Feels like there's an agenda.
And then the Rams, he had 300 yards last year and two touchdowns.
Yeah, again.
So I'm just saying, two games he's been screwed. Minnesota Miracle and last year.
I agree with that.
Screwed.
I agree with that. He's been screwed. However.
But he's thrown for 400 yards.
Here's the problem. Brady has found a way to win those games his entire career, being screwed or not.
Okay, moving on.
I'm
sorry.
What saying.
Just.
No,
the whole dome thing. He's performed in the playoffs on the road.
I agree. No, that's a fair point.
Damn
that's
it,
a fair point.
Ball don't lie.
You're not wrong about that. I'm just telling you, when you haven't played like a football game in like 18 games outdoors, it's tough to transition to that.
It's a great point, especially in Tennessee.
That's all.
Who's going to run that big ass back at you?
They're
going to
run Henry at them like 20 times, dude. And those defenses don't want to tackle that dude.
Yeah,
brutal.
Colts 6.5 point favorites against the Panthers. I'm out. Don't care.
Fuck, do I want to take the Colts so bad? I'm not going to do it because there's other things on the board this week I like more. But I really like the Colts.
I hate the Colts.
I think they're going to win by a touchdown this week.
Do you know how many people were on the Colts? I had the Saints in the under this week. But, dude, everybody had the Colts plus 10. Everybody.
Oh, I know.
Like, that was like one of the days where I'm like fading it.
Yeah. I like the Colts in the over. I think the Colts rebound. I think the Panthers being overvalued. Will Grier's first start as a rookie. And
that's right.
First start.
West Virginia.
Win, yada, yada,
you know
yada,
that stat, right?
Which is why I'm not playing it.
Oh.
I'm not playing it because of that
one
stat.
Loss, though. And I believe the one loss was rookie quarterback who lost in his first start. Bengals. There.
Yeah.
Finley.
Yeah, Ryan Finley. Yep.
By the way, Bengals, Dolphins, PP Dolphins. Pick them right now. Pick them.
Ooh, I like Cincy.
Pick them.
Ooh, I like Cincy. Hold on. You know what I've not been doing? I've not been doing the bell.
We're not belling.
Here's the bell. Here's the bell. I've not been doing the bell. Apologies.
Yeah, West Philadelphia.
Apologies.
Born and raised on the playgrounds where I spent most of my days.
Apologies.
The
first
prince of Bel Air.
I like the Bengals, dude. The Bengals win that fucking game.
So I like the Dolphins and you like the Bengals.
I do. I'm not playing it.
I like the Dolphins. PP, pick them.
No, you're gonna throw out plus one now.
Thank you. Pick. Give it to me.
Okay, you get a point. I mean, I don't think it's going to matter.
Dolphins, but. Dolphins, Dolphins.
Okay.
Oh, a little Christmas in Miami. Hell
Joe,
yeah.
Joe going in early. Three PPs are
on. Oh, a little hell yeah.
All right.
Little Dolphin, dude. The Dolphins play hard, man.
Okay, here we go. Here's some fun.
They got hosed last week on a pass interference call. Brian Flores went nuts.
Agreed, they did. That was a bad fucking call. I forgot about that one. All right. Next 1 o'clock game. What do you got?
Steelers, Jets.
What do you like?
Nothing. I mean, the Steelers probably win, but...
fuck, I feel like the Jets are going to win this week, dude.
But the Steelers suck on the road. I'm sorry.
They do. They're not a good road team. You know what? Fuck it. PP, Jets plus three. Give it to me. Give it to me. Jets plus three. I'm going with the PP. I like them, dude. Good spot. I think the Steelers are going to lose. Now, by the way, if you have Steelers under 9 wins, right, like I do, here's what I did today, Joe. The Steelers are plus 3 next week on the road at Baltimore. Lamar Jackson is probably not going to play that game if they win this
RG3.
Week. So, therefore, if you want right now, you want to buy out of that bet, go bet the Steelers plus 3. Hmm. Technically, you can win both sides. The Ravens may win by 1 or 2 points.
One thing I wanted to mention, Colts under, boom, boom.
Yeah, cash it. Cash it. Ravens over, cash it. Browns under is a loss. So I'm 1-1 right now and definitely lost some money a little bit right now. So that's why I'm buying out of the Steelers over under 9. You can buy out. Even if they hit, even they would get their 9th win this week, you can still buy out by taking Pittsburgh plus 3 versus Baltimore 2 weeks. And the look-ahead line is out. My bet is in. So, one more 1 o'clock game, Joe. Giants at the Redskins.
Vomit.
PP Redskins money line. Give it to me. Give it to me. Yeah. No, this is a waste. This is a waste of time, dude. The Giants suck. I think Daniel Jones is starting, by the way, which makes me like it even more. Because at least the Giants are playing hard for Eli Manning.
Mm.
Daniel Jones feels like he's lost out there these days. I don't like backing Jones. I think he looks worse and worse by the day. I think that Haskins has actually been better than him in the past 5 or 6 weeks.
Yeah, dude. Callahan's not going to get any credit. It won't be remembered. But Washington's actually probably been a covering machine of late. Oh, no, last week. Right?
Yeah.
They lost on that play.
On the terrible
play. Oh, my God.
Yep.
Wow, that was one of the worst beats in history.
Yep, sure was.
Of all time, maybe.
Sure was. So, yeah, I will not be on that one.
All right, let's move on because that game sucks.
But, yeah, but a PP, there you go.
All right, he's got Washington.
There you go. All right, I'm giving out 2 now.
David sucks and blows at the Broncos. Broncos shouldn't be 7 points to anybody. I'm sorry.
Yeah, especially with a rookie quarterback.
Well, Drew Lock played well in his first game, and there was a snow game last week. They were fucked.
I'm not taking the under in that one, but, I mean, the under is real low for a Lions game, 37.5.
Like,
holy shit.
Like, just moving on, too, the Raiders and Chargers. Why are the Chargers 7-point favorites? They suck.
The Chargers, I like the Chargers, man. I think the Chargers.
Like, I wouldn't bet that game.
I think the Raiders are done.
Mm.
I think the Raiders are done. Done. Dunzo. Like, put a fork in them, dude.
Yeah, Cardinals Seahawks.
Total in that Oakland game, by the way, is 45. I like the over. I like the over.
There's nothing over there. There's no value. Cardinals Seahawks. The last time they played, I want to say the Cardinals covered.
They are. It's about to go to 9.5 too. Seattle's barely holding on to 10-point favorites. I think the line's going to move to 9.5 shortly. I would not bet against the Cardinals right now. They seem to be playing their best football of the year. And divisional game?
Cardinals are 5-1 against the spread in their last 7 as a road underdog.
I mean, they're playing the best football they've played all year.
And, dude, like, I know Josh Gordon wasn't a huge impact to Seattle, but, like, they can't run 3 and 4 receiver sets right now. They don't have it. So they're going to have to go with Penny more. And who got hurt? One of them got hurt, the running back.
Penny was out.
I forget who the other running back was.
Carson,
there you go. But they're probably going to have to run the ball more. There was talk that they might go after Antonio Brown, but then it was leaked out that if anybody signs Antonio Brown, he's going to get suspended.
And it sounds like he's going to get suspended, which, yeah. I mean, he's a fucking madman on Twitter.
Dumb. He could have got it 6 games earlier and then played.
Yep.
And then finally, Cowboys-Eagles. They both won last week. The Eagles are at home. The Eagles came back to win. The Cowboys showed who they were. Overall, I think the Cowboys are a better team, better offensively. And, dude, I don't know who's going to play for the Eagles. Like,
Greg Ward is going to be their number one receiver, basically.
Like, it's going to be bad. So I think the Cowboys should be able to feast. Plus,
it's super square.
They're on the road. I think
it's super square. If you're on Dallas, you're going to be on the square side. But I think that's one of the square ones that way. I do. I think the Cowboys are going to win that game, man. It's a tough one. It really is. That's a toss-up game for me. I don't want to touch that one. It's tough.
Oh, I'm touching it.
You are?
And I'm going to give you the Cowboys as a PP.
There you go.
Hey, by the way, first period under Bruins.
Just hit that again.
I've been a degenerate in betting all the first half period unders lately. 25 all the way down.
Really? Just the whole thing?
Yeah, the whole thing.
Like it. I like it.
I won $15 one night. I won 200 one night.
It's $15 more than you had before.
It's just fun.
Yeah. Again, Seton Hall is destroying Maryland right now.
Wow.
Up by 9. I am on Princeton. They're down by 6. I need them to win. I'm on Detroit. They're down by 8. I need them to cover. And I'm on Georgia Southern. They're down by 6. I need them to win. Meanwhile, St. Joe's is destroying William & Mary. So, all right.
Anyways, it was one more game.
Two more games. We got the Sunday night game and the Monday night game.
Chiefs-Bears. Chiefs are 6 points on the road against the Bears.
Opened at 4. Okay. Here's another very, very, very square line in prime time. To me, this has the makings of a fuck you ref game.
I've seen people on the Bears this week. I saw people on 4.5. It's 6 now, dude. How did it go that way? I saw people betting the Bears.
Well, I'll tell you, Joe, 91% of the bets so far made are on Kansas City. Wow. 93% of the money.
So the sharps are on the...
Both. I think it's the sharps and the public, both on Kansas City this week, it feels like. By the way, Kleep Lakeman, who, did not do that, is on the Rams-Niners game this week. Mm-mm. The Saturday night primetime Kleep Lakeman, Joe. Do you hear that?
49ers.
No.
Yeah, no, I know. Normally, we know what it's been doing. But I'm fading it.
Primetime, Cleve Blakeman. All right, final game. Green Bay heading to Minnesota.
Vikings, baby.
Vikings, 5-point favorites. Vikings. Total sitting at 46.
Vikings.
I agree.
No Dalvin Cook, though.
No Dalvin Cook and no Alexander Mattison either.
Oh.
They're going with Mike Boone is their third string running back. He's starting the game.
He did okay last week.
I don't remember him playing. I didn't watch the game.
Oh, Madison, the kid from Boise.
Yep.
He's out.
I believe so. Yeah, they're both out. They're down to a third string guy. Yeah, so the Packers, again, to me, there are two extremely fraudulent teams in the league right now. Seattle and Green Bay. To me, those are the two most fraudulent teams in the entire
league.
Yeah,
but late in games, both those quarterbacks got the calls.
Yeah, but late in games, neither of those guys have been able to put it together recently. Wilson more recently than Rodgers, but even still, like, you got to win some big games. And I guess Rodgers did a couple years ago in the Dallas game, but he just doesn't look the same, man. He looks
different. His numbers look good. 24 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. Dude, there's been some games where he's been a no-show.
He just feels like he doesn't feel like Aaron Rodgers anymore. He feels
like Danica
Packer. He reminds me of Ben Roethlisberger. Like, he's kind of there. He's not throwing picks. He's not turning the ball over like Roethlisberger. He's kind of there. Anyways, that's it. I think we got, Joe, you had 4 NFL PPs this week. I think I had 2.
Got an itchy hand, kid.
I think I had 2, and I bet you we'll probably end up batting. I bet you we'll end up batting. So stay tuned. All right, what do we want to do next, Joe? We want to take a break? Do we want to do college basketball? We want to jump right into bowl season? What do you want to do?
Bowl season.
Want to do bowl season? All right, bowl season coming up next. You listen to Over Under 985.
Hardcore baseball talk. Inside the Ropes with Wrestling Talk. And where you should put your money with Over Under 98.5. Listen to the podcast at 98.5thesportshub.com and on the Sports Hub app.
You're listening to the Over Under 98.5 podcast. You can find all of our documented picks at Dan Lifshatz, at Joey Murr, and at Over Under 98.5 on Twitter. You can also listen to us Thursdays with Toucher and Rich, 7 to 7:20 a.m. to discuss everything that's going on in the sports world of betting, the NFL, college football, and any other sports slate that is going on that week. Make sure to listen to us 7 to 7:20 a.m. every Thursday on Toucher and Rich.
Bowls, bowls, bowls. We got college bowls.
Did I ever tell you one time I wrote a song called The Bowl Song?
You wrote a song?
I used to play with bands. I used to basically get fucked up and play music.
You like a roadie?
No. My buddies were in a band.
Okay. Oh, okay.
And then I would get fucked up and play with them.
Okay, so you kind of like, you just kind of fucking
chill. I was kind of like, when my buddy didn't want to sing, I sang.
Alternate.
Yeah. And then one night I tripped on mushrooms and somebody clogged a toilet bowl at a house one night. I've told this story before on Touch and Rich. Someone clogged a toilet bowl at a party and it was not good because we had no bathroom to use. And everyone's like, oh no, somebody clogged the bowl. And oh no, somebody clogged the bowl. And then I just had a guitar in my hand. I'm sure everyone knows what it's like when I have a guitar in my hand. Listen to this podcast
for damn sure,
and I just started singing, oh no, somebody clogged the bowl, oh man, somebody clogged the can. And the speculations are that it was a girl named Suzanne.
Oh no.
So it was, oh no, somebody clogged the bowl,
oh no,
oh man, somebody clogged the can. Speculations are it was Suzanne. Bitch better never do it again. And that was the song I wrote, Dan.
I love that song.
It's on tape somewhere.
Wow.
I might have to go through Mama Murray's house somewhere.
Can we go in the other studio and record that later?
I could play it right now if you want.
Get some Big Jim Murray in there.
We could do it.
Maybe we need to bring the fucking guitar back for some luck.
Dude, when we need it, though.
It's like the rabbit foot. I'm just saying, whenever we need some fucking luck, I think we might need to go to the guitar. So.
Bowls, 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 starting with the Makers Wanted Bahamas Bowl. Is that a liquor?
That is.
Okay.
Maker's Mark.
Buffalo to Charlotte. Okay. I know Buffalo. I know they score points. They're 6.5-point favorites. And I know you know more about Charlotte than I do.
Listen, Charlotte is a run-and-gun team at this point. Chris Reynolds is their quarterback. He's a run and gun. He's a run and gun team. Now, you might have some information on who's playing and who isn't.
Well, I'll tell you this. Charlotte, like, I don't think has ever been to a bowl, have they? Buffalo's been to three in a row. Charlotte, I believe, has won five in a row.
Dude, they won five, and Buffalo's pretty much won, like, they struggled into the bowl season. They've only won, like, two games in the past few weeks. It's interesting. It's the first time Charlotte's ever been bowl eligible, okay? This is their first bowl game. They've only been in the FBS since 2015. So this is all new for them, all right? This is, you know, Buffalo's been there. This is not a big bowl for them. Obviously, they were definitely a bowl team last year. I don't remember who they, you know, played or whatever.
I got to play without even discussing this.
Okay.
Over.
So I guess the total opened at 56. Down to 51.5 because potential wind gusts north of 30 miles an hour.
Ah, the Bahamas. I've been there. The wind's not that bad.
So, to me, it's a Nassau.
Yeah, I've been to that casino.
Yep. To me, Charlotte is the much better passing team. Much better.
And I should let you know that Buffalo is one of the top scoring defenses in the country.
Charlotte scores points. That's what they do. The total opened at 56 for a reason. I believe it's probably down to 51.5 for weather concerns. I got to be honest with you, Joe. Do you feel like the wind angle is super overblown in football games?
Yeah, unless it's like kicking.
Yeah, I do too. I mean, outside of kicking, I just feel like the wind doesn't affect a really well-thrown football.
Now, the last game that Buffalo played, they destroyed Bowling Green. So have they really been focused?
Bowling Green sucks.
That's what I mean. And Charlotte started bad and then rallied to make a bowl. So I feel you on the side of Charlotte. I just think it's going to go over, and that's just the easiest play.
I do, too. The one thing about Buffalo, their quarterback, I think his name is Tyler Van Treese. Guy does not turn the ball over, all right? He threw one interception this season. Only sacked twice.
Well.
So the kid takes care of the ball.
They're producing quarterbacks there.
Glorified game manager is what I would say. All right? He's a game manager. They run the ball. Jared Patterson, Kevin Marks, those guys run the damn football. Chris Reynolds is a running quarterback too. Okay? So it's him and Kevin and him and Benny LeMay. Those guys run the football for Charlotte, but Buffalo runs the ball. They're a running ground and pound team. You want to worry about the run game? Well, you know, if you want to worry about the win, the run game takes care of that issue. I'm assuming that's probably why Buffalo has the majority of the bet and the majority of the money, and the line has moved 2 points their way. To me, this is just me, Joe, and this is just the angle I look at, right? Charlotte's first ever bowl game. Massive. Massive for them. I don't know if this game means dick to Buffalo. I don't know if it means anything to them.
All right. I like the over.
I do, too. I like the over, and I like Charlotte. No PP. I'm just giving you what I like. I like the over, and I like Charlotte. I think Charlotte's going to throw the ball. I think they cover. I think they outright win this game.
Utah State and Kent State, I'll tell you, this is what I know. Kent State was actually the only team to win three straight to be eligible for a bowl this year. They finished third in the MAC. They average about 27 points a game, and they got a little quarterback there named Dustin Crum. I only know about him because the guy runs all over the place.
Crum was crazy this
year. We know that Utah State has had Jordan Love. I think he's going to be a first-round draft pick. I do.
He really struggled at the end of the year.
But disappointing team. I remember when they got smoked by Boise.
Here's the other thing you have to know about Jordan Love, Joe. First off, Jordan Love is transferring.
Really? Well, no, he's gonna go to the pro.
So either he's gonna go to the pros or he's transferring. There has not been a decision made as far as I know. The rumor is, Joe, and you're gonna love this. Where do you think his next rumored school is?
Fucking Oklahoma.
Oklahoma. So the rumor is that he's transferring to Oklahoma.
Yeah, no, I'd go pro.
He's which is first funny pick. Because the kid from Houston, I believe, is transferring there too,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
What's his name? Derek King?
Yep.
Yep. So that's the rumor.
Yeah, no, to me, this was a disappointing season for Utah State, but they go out with a bang.
Oh, you know what? I lied. Love did enter the draft. Yeah. I did not see that. My fault. I did not know that.
Okay. Yeah, I just saw a projection that he was like a top 10 pick. Utah wins 40, like they win by 20. What's the spread?
If Love plays.
Yeah, they're winning by 20.
But what if he doesn't play?
Well, then it's a 6-point game. And then we get this guy Crum who's going to run all over the place.
So, to me, I like the over.
I mean, who's the hotter team? It's Kent State. Who's the better team? It's Utah State.
But here's the thing. I'm not even sure. A couple weeks, this has been, what, 2-3 weeks since they've really played an important game. I'm not even sure how hot they are anymore. I think Utah State is the better team. I think they have better players.
Kent State sucked last year hardcore, too.
Jordan Love entering the draft. Does he play?
Yeah, yes. Remember Daniel Jones? Was he going to play for Duke? And what happened? Guy went fucking off in a playoff game and was a first-round pick. This is a Jordan Love situation, right? Jordan Love could be a top 10 pick. All the hype of Fromm and Eason and all these other guys, this dude's got the skills. All right, so those are what, your Friday games. Saturday, this one's interesting to me. San Diego State versus Central Michigan. San Diego State finished 9-3 this year. Central Michigan had a good offense, was a good MAC team, but they have never seen a defense like San Diego State. I'm telling you right now, I don't know who's playing, who's not. I don't know any intangibles. I'll just tell you this much. San Diego State controls the game, controls the football. And in Central Michigan, from what I've seen this year, they've only been good at home. And now where's this New Mexico Bowl? It's in New Mexico?
It's in Albuquerque.
Give me San Diego State.
PP?
Fuck it. Let's do it.
Okay. San Diego State -3, PP.
Ring, ding, dong.
There's the bell. I got to move this closer, man. There we go. I got to move everything closer to me. This has been such a pain in the ass the way they set everything up now. All right. That's a little bit closer now. Central Michigan has been a wild story did they lose in the MAC championship? I think they lost, right? Did they lose in the MAC championship?
I believe so.
I think they did. I'll take a look. But I think they lost in the MAC championship to Miami of Ohio, if I remember correctly. They lost 26-21. They had a really good season. Came out of nowhere after they were really just a terrible team. San Diego State was hyped up all year. We expected them to do well.
They battled Hawaii and then won on a field goal late in the game.
The under in the Central Michigan-San Diego State game is 41. I will say this. Jonathan Ward is the running back for Central Michigan. That kid can fucking play. And Central Michigan is going to have to run the ball to be successful. And Ryan Agnew cannot turn the ball over because that was his issue.
Well, that's the thing. Central Michigan can score. We know that San Diego State averages like 19, 20 points a game. But I just want to say, San Diego State has been to 10 straight bowls. They've beaten UCLA, Fresno, BYU, Utah State, Nevada, Hawaii. Like, they have, like, at least beaten quality teams, where Central Michigan has really only done well against the MAC.
Yep. I agree. I think that Central Michigan struggled badly in their out-of-conference schedule. San Diego State has been fantastic all year. And honestly, Joe, they're one of my favorite plays this week.
Yeah.
It's hard, very hard, not to want to take San Diego State here. I want to double PP it with you, but I'm not going to. I really like the under two, so that would be the way I would lean there. If you're looking for something there, that would be the way that I
would
go. What's
the total one more time on that?
Total on that one is 41.5.
Over.
It feels like an under game. San Diego State, their defense is just so good.
Really good.
But again, you got to find the motivation factor. These kids give a fuck.
Mm. Liberty, Georgia, I'm out on Liberty just to begin with. Both these teams don't really make bowls often. I remember Georgia Southern played LSU in the opener. and lost 55-3. And then I bet Liberty a couple times and they sucked. So, like, I'm kind of out on both teams. Liberty's got a dynamic passing attack. Georgia Southern has a good rushing attack.
Who's the quarterback for Liberty? I'm blanking on his name.
Stephen Calvert.
Calvert, yes, Calvert. Okay, so Calvert's good. However, when we saw Liberty play up to decent competition, like outside of BYU, they played really well versus BYU. Outside of BYU, they sucked. They sucked. So, you know, they lost to Rutgers, as you just said. Two of their seven wins are against Mexico State. You know, like, I mean, whatever. And to me, Georgia Southern has the better quarterback. Shai Wirtz is a monster. And if he's playing, I like them. So, to me, PP, Georgia Southern minus four.
I like it.
Liberty is what I consider a team that's propped up by its wins. I mean, you take a look at Liberty's schedule this year, and we'll just take a quick look here, okay? Their wins this year are Buffalo at home, Hampton. So I think Buffalo might be their best win, by the way, Joe. Buffalo at home, Hampton, Division 1AA, whatever. New Mexico, who blows. New Mexico State, who blows. Maine, UMass, and New Mexico State again.
Woof.
Feels like they got shut out by Syracuse, lost to Louisiana Lafayette, lost to Rutgers, lost to BYU, and lost to Virginia. To me, Georgia Southern is the play here. Got to go Georgia Southern. It's going to be square, more square at least. It's not going to be contrarian, but it's the right side, at least in my personal opinion.
Mm-hmm. Moving to the Boca Raton Bowl, which we discussed this morning on Toucher and Rich. The 10-2 SMU Mustangs play FAU. We know about SMU and their quarterback. I was going to call him Bobby Boucher, but
Shane Boucher.
Shane Boucher. Very good season for SMU. Very good. I like Florida Atlantic here. I know they don't have Lane Kiffin. Willie Taggart's coming in. 3.5-point dogs. I don't know the motivation for Southern Methodist. Does Shane Buechele want to play? Because he's probably going to be a mid to late round draft pick. I like FAU in this spot, but both teams put up a ton of points. Little do people know that FAU 53rd in the country in defense this year.
FAU was one of the craziest teams to win this year because people hopped on the Kiffin train, didn't believe it, but hopped on because it's the Kiffin train, and they fucking dominated. And I'll give them this. I didn't think they could do it. I did not think they could do it. They were above and beyond impressive this year. SMU was really, really good to start the season, Joe. I know you remember that. They had that win versus Tulsa that was wild, like triple overtime. They had a couple bad losses, but to me, FAU is damn, dude. They're a good team.
Let me give you a PP on this one.
Okay.
I'm going to go under 70.
PP under 70. I like it. I was actually just looking at that, too. I just think the FAU defense is going to be really good for SMU. They're going to score a lot of points, but I don't know if Buscelli's going to play. Here's the thing. You don't really know what you're going to get out of Florida Atlantic. It's hard.
I know, but I think they want to play, though. Like, I think they want to show they don't, like, the coach doesn't matter, you know?
I mean, you would also want to, wouldn't you also want to kind of show for your new coach?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, unless you have plans on transferring, you would want to show
for your new coach. I think Taggart's a good move for them. Only reason why is because he's been recruiting there for a little bit.
I think Taggart is, here's the thing. I think Taggart's just, he's a really good mid-level school coach.
Well, he was at Oregon for a bit. I mean,
was he at Oregon for a bit?
Wasn't he their offensive coordinator?
Yeah, but that's not a head coach. That's different. Okay. You know what I mean? Like, I think, like, Taggart belongs in the mid-level range. That's where he belongs. FAU is a great school for him. I agree there. Let's also not forget, this is a home game for FAU. Straight up, this is a home game. Home game, home crowd. I like FAU too, Joe. I'm not going to bet it. I like the under. I like FAU. I think FAU wins that game. I do.
Okay. Florida International takes on Arkansas State. I am telling you, I'm not even going to look at this game. Arkansas State or nothing?
PP Arkansas State minus 2.5. Listen, I paid very close attention to this Florida International team this year, okay? I had their win total over, which was 6.5. Or 7.5, sorry. They did not make it. They barely got into the bowl. They sucked ass. Terrible team. Early in the season, they caught fire. Later on, they played well, right? Credit given, credit due. They played well. They deserved to make a bowl later on in the season. Arkansas State had, they ended up 7-5, right? I'm pretty sure they had one of the most, they had one of the harder out-of-conference schedules out for that conference in the Sun Belt. Listen to Arkansas State. They went 7-5. Here are their losses. SMU, they only lost by 7 to SMU. We just talked about how good of a team are. At Georgia, they lost at Georgia. I mean, they're not going to win at Georgia. They lost at Georgia State, which a game they probably should have been closer, but it wasn't. And they lost to Louisiana Lafayette. Now, the last game of the season, they lost outright to South Alabama. That's the one that scares you. Other than that, they were a really, really solid team this year. And they had a good win versus Georgia Southern. They finished up the year going 4 straight wins before that Southern Alabama loss or South Alabama loss. To me, I like them. I know Florida International finished off very strong. They had a good win, I believe, against Miami. Was it? I believe it was Miami, yeah. Mm. But then they lost to Marshall in overtime. They got ruined by Florida Atlantic a week before that. They were a better team in middle of the season. UMass, Charlotte, UTEP. That little run right there kind of got them going. And they beat Old Dominion. But really, outside of Miami, they have really no impressive wins. Charlotte, I guess you can consider. But you're looking at Charlotte, Miami, that's it. Arkansas State, their body of work is just much better. So to me, that's the way it was. Arkansas State was let down after not making the Sun Belt Championship.
I lean the under in that game, too. Moving on, Mitsubishi Motors Las Vegas Bowl. Boise State versus Washington. Holy crap, this matchup here.
This is such a fucking good game, dude.
I mean, two teams that have played each other in bowl games. Coach for Washington stepping down was the former coach at Boise State. Boise State went to a senior quarterback during the middle of the season who, you know, they've won 6 straight. Now, the one thing I did read earlier, Dan, because we were talking about this, Eason's going to play. He's going to opt to the NFL after the game. Their big left tackle, Trey Adams, is not going to play, and their big tight end is not going to play to protect against injury.
He's Eason's favorite target, right?
Yep.
Yep.
And
what's his name? Is it Salvin?
Hunter Bryant.
Hunter Bryant, right, thank you.
And they also have a couple of other defensive guys that aren't going to play. So history shows that these two teams have played each other tight years ago. I was just looking at it. The last time they played was in 2015. It was the opening game of the year, and Boise State beat Washington 16-13. And then they played in a bowl game a couple of years ago, and I believe it was 28-26 Boise. So Boise has been on in the front of all these last few matchups here. What's the line?
The line is Washington minus 3.5.
How do you figure that?
I got...
Where does the three... Boise's been the better team.
So here's the question.
Had one bad loss.
Who is Boise playing at quarterback?
Well, they're going to play Jalen...
Henderson?
Yeah.
Okay.
If it's I don't think he's bad.
It's not that.
I know LeBron Here's Marker the kid thing. Or whatever.
Henderson's not an NFL player, right? So I guess the motivation factor is there. I just look at it and say Bachmeier was really good early in the season.
He
won that FSU game coming back week one, right? He led this team. Obviously, Boise State won the champion, whatever conference they're in, I'm blanking on it right now. Midwest. Mountain West Championship. Thank you. Over Hawaii. Great. I just would like to see them play Bachmeier in this game just because he's a freshman and that's like.
Is there a Chris Peterson factor here? Last game against his former team.
It almost feels like this is a letdown for Peterson. You know what I mean? Like, he's gone. It almost feels like those kids have to feel like, what the fuck? You know, Yeah. And we have to assume Peterson's leaving, right? He's going to some sort of different program, or he wanted to step away from the program because of something coming down the pike. Whatever it is, feels like Washington is the wrong side to be on. That's my opinion.
If they were three plus three, it'd be different.
Agreed.
I'd feel completely different if it was plus three.
Me too. And I liked Washington a lot this year. I talked about them as being a potential, you know, playoff perennial team. They were not, obviously, going 7-5.
I will say this, though. The competition that Washington played was much better than Boise.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Like, they could have beaten Oregon. They should have beaten Oregon. We just saw what Oregon did to Utah.
Well, fair. Fair. But Boise, let's also not kill Boise State.
They beat Hawaii twice.
Outside of that loss to BYU, I mean, they beat everyone. They beat Wyoming. They beat Utah State, Colorado State, Hawaii twice, Marshall, Florida State. It's not good, but it's certainly not bad.
And who are the seven wins for Washington?
I'll pull it up for you here.
And the kid Eason's good. I mean, if you haven't watched him,
Eason's a pro prospect.
He's a big-bodied kid. His dad obviously played in the NFL with the Patriots.
Okay, Washington, seven wins this year. Eastern Washington, Hawaii, BYU.
Yeah.
USC.
Okay, yeah.
Both of those are really good wins. Arizona, Oregon State, Washington State. Yeah. Losses at home versus Cal in that weird game. It got delayed like 3 hours. I don't hold that game against them.
Yeah.
Loss at Stanford in the middle of the season.
That's bad.
One of the worst losses I've ever
KJ
seen.
KJ Costello's transferring.
Yeah. Dude, that loss to Stanford in the middle of the season is one of the worst losses of the entire season.
Because they were bad, remember?
Stanford's terrible.
I had them in that game.
Oregon and Utah, back-to-back losses. Yeah. Lost by 4 points and 5 points. And they lost at Colorado, and Colorado was sucking at the end of the year. To me, they have really some really good wins mixed in with a lot of
team that's been a letdown
their
team.
Their second half of the season was beyond disappointing. Lost to Oregon, lost to Utah, beat Oregon State barely, lost at Colorado, and then they wiped before Washington
State. They beat their
rival
in a snow game.
Still, very disappointing. Massively disappointing.
They should not be favored. I'm sorry.
I agree.
But I have a little projection here. I've been doing a little formula, Dan.
Yeah.
Been trying to, at least. And my formula has Washington, and it has the over of 49.
Interesting.
Moving on to the Carriers New Orleans Bowl, we have Appalachian State versus Alabama Birmingham. Off the bat, I think this is a smoke show of a game for Appalachian State. I think they win by 20 plus.
Weird game. App State should probably be playing in a
better. By the way, App State will have a new coach, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
So new coach for App State. They should probably be playing in a better bowl game, in my opinion, facing a better team. UAB was 9-4.
UAB got destroyed by Florida Atlantic in that.
Murdered.
Yeah.
And by the way, we were on Florida Atlantic that day. I don't know if you remember that, but. To me, UAB is just, I told you, I'm not getting in front of the App State train, and I'm not, I'm definitely not, but it feels,
I think they finished this thing off.
It feels like this is a team that wants to win no matter what,
yeah,
regardless of the coaching or whatever. UAB feels like a program that, while had a fantastic season, really, the back end of their schedule was the rough. You know, last 6 weeks was pretty rough. They got destroyed by Tennessee, ruined by Southern Miss. I mean, ruined 37-2. Came back, beat UTEP, beat Louisiana Tech, which is a really good win. Won at North Texas, which is not impressive, and then got absolutely destroyed by Florida Atlantic. The end of the season has been up and down as you can possibly get. Their losses are not good, or they're not bad. I mean, their losses are not bad. Western Kentucky, Tennessee, Southern Miss, it's the way they proceeded to lose the Tennessee and Southern Miss games that scares the hell out of me. And the way that they just no-showed versus Florida Atlantic in the conference championship. I would take App State. That'd be me. That'd be the way I would roll if we're doing that. All right, Joe, on the Monday, December 23rd, and we're going to go up to, what should we do? Should we go up to Thursday or Wednesday?
We should go to Christmas Eve.
Okay, we'll go to Tuesday then. All right. Marshall facing off in the Bad Boy Mowers Gasparilla Bowl.
The old Gasparilla Bowl.
The Bad Boys Gasparilla Bowl. Facing off against UCF. UCF basically home team in Tampa. UCF is a 17-point favorite. Total sitting at 61.5.
What's the spread?
17.
Oh, no. Marshall's going to cover, dude.
It feels like everyone's going to be on the dog in this one. They're going to be a trendy dog.
Hey, listen, I think UCF was very good this year. 9-3. They burned me on a couple of games. What is the story of Mackenzie Milton next year? Like, is his career over?
I don't know.
Like, is he going to come back?
I don't know. I wish I had an answer for you. I don't know. I don't really know what to make of Marshall. They started off the year 2-3 and then finished the year in incredible fashion, winning six of their last seven. Their only loss was on the road at Charlotte. Again, we were on Charlotte, by the way. Impressive way to end the year for Marshall after they really started poorly. That loss to Middle Tennessee State was embarrassing. I really don't know what to make of Marshall. UCF is the exact opposite, you know? They started well, struggled in the middle of their schedule, and had that stupid loss at the end to Tulsa, which is just weird. They are to somehow win versus Tulane and then destroyed South Florida. This game, Joe, is a game that I would tell you not to touch. I have no idea. But if I was going to take a side, it'd probably be Marshall. I don't like it. It feels square. It feels like everyone's going to be on the dog. And there's a reason that UCF is probably laying 17. But you won't see me on UCF either. Can't do it.
Problem is UCF gets out to these big leads and then...
And gives them away.
And then, like, the left-handed quarterback sucks. And then they... Oh, God. I've done it to myself too many times with them.
All right, Joe, I think I have a PP in this one. This is dangerous.
Is this Hawaii?
This is dangerous, right? Hawaii BYU.
In Hawaii.
SoFi Hawaii Bowl.
On Christmas Eve?
Honolulu on Christmas Eve.
And, dude, I am going to be betting the shit out of this
game. Me too. Okay. Before I say, what do you like? We know what BYU has been on the road. We know what Hawaii has been at home. To me, if you have everyone playing, BYU on the road this year, won at Tennessee in overtime, lost to Toledo, lost at South Florida, won at Utah State, won at UMass, and then got ruined by San Diego State on the road. Hawaii this year at home, to me. Beat Arizona, beat Oregon State, beat Central Arkansas, lost Air Force, lost to Fresno, beat San Jose State, beat San Diego State, beat Army. Struggled in the middle.
I got to get some Hawaiian intel. I'll find out soon.
Okay, to me, this reads to me like a Hawaii or nothing game.
Okay, let me just say something about Hawaii. Their offense is very good. Very good. Cole McDonald's good, but sometimes he forces things. He doesn't run at times, and he throws picks. Their defense is not good at stopping the run. So what's BYU really good at? They've had three different quarterbacks this year.
They run the ball.
I don't know, man. A Christmas Eve Hawaii game. It's hard for me to fade Hawaii in that spot. All they're going to do, man. You know how many people are going to Hawaii to watch this game? How many people are going to Hawaii for the holidays? I think Hawaii wins on a last-second field goal, and they have the worst kicker I've ever seen.
Here's the one thing, right? BYU has how many players from Hawaii?
Lots of family members.
Now, Hawaii has a lot of players from Hawaii, too. I'm just saying BYU's players are going to have a motivation factor because they actually get to play in front of their families for the first time in a long time.
Now, my projected winner on my little Joe stats here, has BYU winning by 4.5 and has the game going under 65 points.
Okay.
But that's just some stupid model I've been using.
I like Hawaii. I'm not going to PP it. It might be something you see me on at Christmas Eve. Before we end the bowl segment, I want to get on the bowl. We'll do the rest of the bowls for next week's segment. We'll do bowls next week. We're not going to preview every game. I think it's just too much to kind of get into right now. However, little system I've been using for bowl games for quite some time. Brought up to me by a friend, Vegas Refund, actually. You guys may know him, VR. Okay? He was the one who found it, sent it to me, whatever. Bowl season, you play the first half under. First half under hits, you stop. You play the first half under, it loses, you double up on the second half under. It's some stupid, ridiculous thing. Like, if you hit both, if you lose, you lose three in that 3.3 units if you lose both. But for the majority, it's something like, I don't know, a couple years ago, it went something like 30-7. It was stupid. It was just straight up stupid. Like, people were just, they were just dominating. It was absolute domination. So what I would tell you is, you know, be careful. But it's a system that has proven that we had to be successful in the past. If you want to look at it, I wouldn't blame you. That's all.
Okay, and there's more bowl games, the better ones, of course, will be coming soon. Wednesday's Christmas. Is there a bowl game on Christmas Day?
No, no games on Christmas.
And then just to kind of set it up, let's see, Friday, right? It would be the next.
No, Thursday. Oh, we Thursday. Got Louisiana Tech, Miami, and Pittsburgh, Eastern Michigan.
Fuck Eastern Michigan.
Yep.
Remember when they lost to Illinois? Or they beat Illinois, didn't they?
They fucked me this year, dude. Not
and
great.
And Miami, I don't even know if I can trust them against Louisiana Tech.
Yeah, that line feels.
Temple UNC, oh my God, Michigan State. Whoa, holy crap, there are some games here, man.
Yep.
USC, yep. Iowa. Oof.
So next week, we got a lot of bowl games. We have a lot. So we're going to be really diving in next week. Then after the week after that, I am in Vermont for New Year's Eve. And Joe,
we can do the old dial-in-ski.
We will figure something out. Maybe I'm back for one day. I think before, maybe we'll do the one day before. We'll figure it out. But there's a lot of bowl games, a lot to talk about. We will get to every single bowl game. As we do every week, we touch on every college football game. So that's what we'll do.
Are we doing college basketball tonight?
We'll do quick college basketball. We'll do questions, and then we're going to get out of here. So coming up next, college basketball. You listen to Over Under 985.
Hardcore baseball talk. Inside the Ropes with Wrestling Talk. And where you should put your money with Over Under 985. Listen to the podcast at 985thesportshub.com and on the Sports Hub app.
Over under 985 college hoopskies. The Friday card stinks. Looking at Saturday, Kansas Villanova, noontime. No spread, no nothing. Kansas number one. Villanova's down this year. I still don't trust Kansas on the road against anybody. Still.
I don't know what their one road win is right now, but I'll tell you, they were impressive. I think their one road win is against, yeah, so they have not faced a real road team yet. Their one road win is against Chaminade, which is not a real team. And at Villanova, I'll tell you right now, that line is going to be low because it's going to be Kansas's first road game of the year. Villanova 4-0 at home, Joe. 4-0. I think that you might be able to find some value with Villanova there. I know that everyone likes Kansas number one team, 9-1. Lost the first game of the season. I've lost since. Villanova's still 8-2. Good team. 4-0 at home. Kansas has not played a real road game this year. Wells Fargo Center is interesting place for Villanova. We'll see what happens. I like Villanova. If we'll see what the spread is, but I think Villanova has some chance for some value in that one.
Okay. Kansas should win, but they're on the road. And just looking at it, like the only other games I really see on Saturday, Purdue-Butler is interesting to me. Butler's ranked. They've played well. I've watched Purdue the last couple of weeks kick ass. There was really good defensive team the other night. I'm not sure if Harms is playing, but being a Big Ten guy, I think they could give Butler fits.
I think there's some really good non-ranked games too, Joe. Indiana, Notre Dame. Indiana
at home is a must play.
So it's a neutral site game.
Ooh.
Indianapolis, Indiana, Notre Dame in the Crossroads Classic. Neutral site game, obviously in-state rivals, yada, yada, yada. So that will be an interesting one. Oklahoma, UCF in Norman. So that's a good one, too.
Kind of like Oklahoma on that one.
Texas, Providence. Texas traveling across the country to Providence. Mm. That's an interesting game there, too. There's a few others, not like any big games, but we got, Toledo Wright State is a really good game. Those two teams play each other well. You kind of talked about the Purdue game. Utah State, Florida, it's basically a home game for Florida, but it's a neutral site game. It's the Orange Bowl Classic. Florida has been not so great this year, and Utah State has been hot as shit.
Talk me out of Ohio State over Kentucky.
Well, I can't. First off, it's a neutral site game. Okay. Kentucky looked like absolute dog shit last night. Dog shit.
Kentucky, that's what it sounded like.
Kentucky was terrible last night. I watched that game. Lost to Utah outright as a 10-point favorite. I thought they were going to cover. They were terrible last night. I would not want to back Kentucky whatsoever right now. Maybe you'll find some value in betting them. I don't really know. But for me, there's no way. The Saturday slate, Joe, is so fucking deep. It's kind of crazy. I mean, UCLA, North Carolina, neither of those teams are ranked, but that's a good game. That's also, a neutral site game.
Not ready to put my bankroll on college basketball. Like, I'll dabble. Not ready to bankroll yet, Dan.
Cal, BC, neutral site game. Minnesota, Oklahoma State. We talked about how much you liked Oklahoma State earlier in the year. Dayton, Colorado is a really good game. San Diego, Utah. I mean, listen, the Saturday slate is expansive. It really is. There's a shitload of good games. Cincinnati, Iowa, another one. LSU, USC, another one. St. John's, Arizona. I mean, there are Nevada and St. Mary's to end the night. There are so many good games Saturday, dude.
Why does Sunday card suck like Cornell and your boys Hartford?
my boys.
Well, they are your boys.
And I mean, the Sunday card, it is what it is, dude.
Yale and Clemson, yeah.
You have all the good teams playing Saturday. I mean, you have all these shitty teams. I mean, New Mexico State, Mississippi State, and Mississippi, Loyola, Davidson.
What happened to Big Monday?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, this Big Sunday, this sucks.
They got nothing on Christmas Eve. Nothing.
Really?
And then we got to be determined on Christmas Day. Hawaii, those games.
I think we have some Christmas Day games. We have the Hawaiian tournament on Christmas Day.
I don't know who's playing yet.
All right, so question for you, Joe. Yes. What has stood out to you early in the college basketball season?
That the number one teams can't stay number one. That's one thing. There isn't a major college star this year. There isn't somebody that I want to run to the TV and watch. Wiseman would have been that guy. I think it's kind of simple. Kentucky, Kansas, UNC's down big time. Ohio State's up big time. But besides that, these like smaller schools, like we talked about this morning, So what is it? St. Mary's? Did a kid who dropped 43 points last night?
That was Arizona State.
Oh, Arizona State. Sorry, yeah. It was sock. They got whooped.
Yeah, Arizona State got murked last
but,
night.
But, I mean, really, nothing has really stood out to me besides the fact that there isn't a dominating team. I like Gonzaga. I watched them beat Arizona the other night. Arizona's much improved.
They just choke every year, Joe. Every fucking year. And it's always just Gonzaga's choking dog. So I don't want to get behind them. But honestly, they're the best team that I've seen so far this year. And I know that you love Ohio State. I know that you love Ohio State this year. I just wonder if Ohio State is going to win enough to... if they're going to be able to win in the certain spots. Like, I don't, like, do you want to back Purdue on Saturday? Probably not, but Ohio State just, that loss, I can't remember who it was to off the top of my head, but that loss was incredibly, I think it was Minnesota, if I remember correctly.
It was.
Incredibly disappointing. Like, that's not a loss you can have early in December if you really want to be a legit team later. I mean, I guess you can, but that's a shitty resume, you know, spot right there. That's a game they should have won. Maybe not covered, but you got to find a way to win that game in December. You do. Again, they trailed the entire fucking game. By the way, Friday spreads are up right now, Joe. Honestly, there's really nothing great tomorrow. We got Towson Liberty. It's a neutral site game. Central Connecticut State are 35.5-point dogs to Penn State. Penn State at home tomorrow. Let's see. We got Fordham, 3.5-point favorites over James Madison. Pittsburgh, 20-point favorites over Binghamton. Here's an interesting one. Georgia, 5-point favorites over SMU. Vermont, 11-point favorites over Lipscomb. I mean, the card really sucks on Friday. I think we're going to get more into college basketball. We'll start being able to give you some spots and some look ads that we like a little bit more. College basketball is going to be tough this year. It's going to be easier once
things are
going
to be easier
play.
For us to talk about soon. Too.
Once it gets in the conference play, it's a lot easier. It's a lot easier to predict spreads. A lot easier to predict games. Kind of be able to win on those. So that's the way I look at it.
All right, Dan. Questions?
You want to get to questions right now?
Let's do it right now.
All right, let's get to questions. We have a lot. What would you like to do? You
just
want to
fire them?
What do you want? Do you want to start with a? Do you want to do a few or you want to do them all?
A few.
Okay, because we have about 56 questions. So let me pull up the first one.
How about we do eight?
I can't do that. We do eight. Okay. All right, Joe, this question is for you from our buddy Kevin. How do you get comfortable with choosing and following trends, especially those that stretch over years? Things like coaches and players and weather factors all change.
I look at spots. It just comes down to a spot. How does a team play off a back-to-back on the road? How does a team play off a conference win and then plays a non-conference opponent? I find all these trends. I go to covers.com. I just click trends and boom. Easy as that.
Okay, this is from a couple weeks ago from our buddy Nick. Not a really a question, more of a request to have Joe Murray on the guitar every week. Very interesting. All right, let's see. These questions are going back, by the way, to Thanksgiving. So that's how old these questions are. Can we try and talk about Christmas NBA trends, Joe? Since we're not going to get another podcast out, I guess we can do a little NBA right now. I'll pull up the games and we can kind of talk about the trends quickly. What do you look for in Christmas NBA?
How
do
teams play on the road and not on the road right off the bat? We started talking about that. We were out last night talking about this. If I just pull up the trends between there, now there's nothing on there. But the Celtics have been a good team on the road on Christmas Day. They beat the Knicks a couple of years ago. I forget who. They beat the Lakers one year, maybe, or they. I forget. But, like, how does a team play on the road on Christmas Day is something I would look at.
Celtics on the road versus Toronto. Milwaukee on the road versus the Sixers. We have the Rockets at the Warriors, which is going to be a terrible game. We have the Clippers-Lakers, which is the gem of the night. And then we finish off with Pelicans-Nuggets. Excuse me. So, pretty much, the best few teams from the NBA in the past few years outside of the Pelicans, and obviously the Warriors suck this year, you know, all basically playing on the same day. Listen, here's what I'll tell you. Christmas unders, the early games go under. The later games go over. That's how it's been. And the first half under thing is dead. Everyone was playing first half unders. You know, and so that's the way it is. Everyone's playing third half unders. They kind of caught on to the trend, and so the trend is no longer really a thing. That's the way I would put that. With the, you know, the full games, second half, usually those teams get tired early on. The Celtics-Raptors game is a game maybe to look at for an under, but, I mean, really after that, I think you have to pick and choose your spot if you're looking to play unders, at least in my opinion, because these guys, they're used to it now. This is a common thing to play Christmas NBA games. You know, these guys all celebrate the night before, the night after. It kind of is what it is at this point. So I just don't think that it's much of a trend anymore. Whatever. All right. Why don't we pull some new questions, okay?
Sure.
All right. We have some really nice things people are saying about us, but that's not it. All right. Question from Justin Joe. You might be able to answer this one better than me because this is not something I do often. Hey, boys, question about buying points. Is it worth buying a half a point to get a whole number in the NBA college basketball? I know there are key numbers when betting on football, but are there any on basketball?
No, I don't, actually. I don't. There probably is some benefit to it, though. But I don't know. 1.5, I'd just buy it to 1, wouldn't you?
I'm like a 1.5 on like a line. So I'll play sometimes certain money line spots, but usually games usually
like if a team's down a half a point favorite, I just buy it to a pick 'em.
Yeah, it's, I mean, you're playing the money line then, anyways. Yeah. So I wouldn't even buy it. I would just play the half a point. But I'm talking about like 1.5. I'm usually just laying the 1.5. I'm usually not buying it. I mean, it's usually not going to come down to a 1 or 2 point game. Almost always, you know.
In basketball, it's different. If you ask me,
to me, I don't buy things in basketball ever.
I can't remember the last time I bought a point in basketball.
I rarely do. Sometimes I do. If it's on one book and I'm playing something in another book and I want to match,
and
it,
I don't do teasers in basketball.
Yeah, no, teasers are absolutely
there's no value.
Oh yeah, dude, basketball teasers are just like where you go to die and lose money. So yeah, please don't play teasers in basketball either. All right, let's see what we got here. All right, question from our buddy Lenny. When wagering on a future, do you suggest wagering one unit as I do with all my weekly plays, or should I step up with multiple units and wagers?
One unit and then see how things go and continue to keep adding.
Yeah,
or hedge.
I do too. I mean, I would agree. I think if you want to play a two unit future, then you can, but other than that, it should always be pretty much one unit. Is what it is. All right, Joe, question from Maddie. I think we'll do one or two more, and that's it. What are your thoughts on betting bowl games, given the amount of players who may not play and coach
changes?
Fade
the angle, then. If you think someone's not going to play, it's going to hurt them, fade them.
Right off. Anything about coach changes? Do you care about coach
Sometimes changes? There's a motivational factor. Sometimes some people are pissed, and they're going to transfer, and they're going to suck anyways.
All right.
Like Florida State, for example.
it's hard to question. Yeah, exactly. It's hard to know what those kids are going to want after no Taggart. So, all right, what do you want, one or two more?
One.
All right, last question from buddy Tony. When is a spread too juiced for a second half spread? So, you know, some are like 125 minus 130. Is a spread ever too juiced where you shouldn't touch it?
No. But, like, for instance, the Cowboys were minus 135 against the Bears a couple of weeks ago. They were down, what, like 14 or 17 at half. They were minus 7. It was minus 135. It hit, but it got bet all the way to minus 7, 135. So, but do you want to lose, you know, if you're putting $1,000 on a 1350 on a second half bet? It's a lot of juice.
It is. It is a lot of juice. And it also usually when one side is getting juice in the second half, you know where the action's going. Yeah. Because, you know, they're going to move that line. And not saying that doesn't win. Okay? Plenty of those win. I'm just telling you, you know, kind of what happens.
That's it, Dan. I'm cutting it off from here.
Nope, that's it. That's all we got.
All right. Hopefully everyone liked it better. Sorry we mumbled a little bit. I'm fading.
Yeah, Joe's fading.
I'll be up in the morning. Dan will be here on Christmas. And then we need to figure out a day to do the rest of our stuff.
We'll figure it out.
So, all right. Hope you everyone enjoyed the 71st edition of Over Under 985. For Dan Lifshatz, I'm Joe Murray. We will talk to you next week. Merry Christmas. Happy Hanukkah. Happy holidays to you. This has been Over Under 985.
Who you got?
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.